the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen. Before moving back to the Los Angeles area, my family lived for 30 years in a suburb of San Francisco called Walnut Creek. And from our neighborhood, which was set back in the foothills of Mount Diablo, you'd have to drive about 15 minutes to get to the center of town and to the freeway and to wherever else you were going. So that meant a few times each day you would find yourselves driving down Ignacio Valley Road past familiar landmarks like a large city park or a hospital or this municipal golf course. And very early in our residency in that neighborhood, our son Nick, who was probably about 5 or 6 at the time, decided to name this golf course the Stinky Golf Course. He didn't name it that way because he thought it was not a quality golf course, which it was not, but because every time we drove past it, it really stunk. And it wasn't until years later that I learned what we were smelling was the sulfur outgassing from that area. In fact, about 100 years prior to us moving there, there was actually a sulfur spring around those grounds, and people came from all over to sit in the sulfur baths for healing. That idea of coming to the healing pools of Walnut Creek is a vision I get when we hear the story of the pool by the Sheep's Gate that was surrounded by people needing healing. And while the pool in today's gospel may not have been a sulfur spring, people with all types of illnesses traveled to that destination and wanted the chance of being healed. We are introduced in the gospel message to a man who had been waiting at the pool by the Sheep's Gate for 38 years. He had not been able to get in the water in 38 years. And in reading this, two things immediately come to mind. First, it would seem like the pool was surrounded by a lot of people who were pretty indifferent to this poor man. Look at this guy. He was sitting there 38 years. Nobody helped him. But separate from that, the gospel tells of a man who, after 38 years, couldn't have figured out some way to get close enough to that water to just roll in. Either way, for 38 years, he had indeed been at that pool and unhealed. And this is the scene into which Jesus now arrives. So when Jesus approaches the man, he says just one thing. Do you want to be healed? Sort of sounds rhetorical, doesn't it? Really demanding no answer, because who would say no to do you want to be healed? But what does this man in the gospel say when Jesus asks him? You'd expect him to say, are you kidding? I've been here for 38 years. Yes, I want to be healed. But this is not how he replies. The man says, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is troubled, and when I'm going, another steps down before me. These words, and if you'd notice, they don't really answer Jesus' question, say a lot about the emotional and spiritual state of this paralytic. First, it seems clear he does not perceive that Jesus has any power to change the outcome of his life. If he knew Jesus could heal him, he wouldn't have gone on complaining that the only way he knew about getting healed wasn't working for him. Second, it reveals the full extent of this man's illness, which extends well beyond the physical. The paralytic, instead of answering Jesus' question about his desire to be healing, starts to blame the world around him for his 38 years by the pool. In one of the hymns of Great Vespers for this day, it says, I have wasted my money on physicians and received no help from anyone. Sort of like he's blaming everyone else for his situation. He points to their choices as the reason for his misery. The paralytic allowed his situation and the behavior of the people around him to become excuses for him not taking control of his own life. Instead of finding a way to solve his problems, he looks to all around him and looks for excuses for why it wasn't getting any better. He's too old. He's too paralyzed. Too alone. Too tired. Too unlucky. Other people are too busy. Other people are too indifferent. These people are working against me. When one is in this sort of state, it leads to anxiety, to anger, to fear, and to depression. It is completely unhealthy. In Proverbs 12:25, it says, "Anxiety is in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad." Even Proverbs, written at the time of King Solomon, recognized a connection between anxiety and depression and the idea that positive affirmation is healing to the heart. The beauty of John's gospel is that it plays on so many levels. In addition to describing the facts of the event, St. John, as his gospel so often does, speaks to what's going on in the heart at the time, at the emotional level. This story shows us that the healing of the man was not just physical. And that's how this gospel can apply to all of us. Some of us are certainly physically ill and are in need of physical healing. But all of us from time to time are in need of healing, not only of body, but also of mind and of spirit. How easy it is to ignore these needs for healing. These non-physical illnesses are, in many cases, more devastating even than physical ones. They go easily undetected, even from the person, and perhaps especially from the person suffering them. It isn't long before one finds one's life out of control and completely unmanageable. But our Lord did not come simply to heal our physical illnesses. We are created mind, body, and spirit. Healing one without the other is incomplete and will ultimately be ineffective. When Jesus asks, "Do you want to be healed?" he's talking about all of it. In the case of the paralytic, he was so caught up in the physical that he wasn't even aware of the spiritual healing that was also needed. However, our Lord, who knows what we need long before we do, knew what was needful, and he offered healing that was comprehensive. Jesus said to the paralytic, "Rise, take up your pallet and walk." And immediately he was healed. In one of the matins hymns for this day, we said the paralytic was not healed by the pool, but the word renewed him. Nor was he hindered by his infirmity of many years. For the effect of thy voice was seen to be sharper than the infirmity. Wherefore he cast down his heavy burden and carried the weight of his bed, a testimony to the abundance of thy compassion. Glory to thee. I love that. With the word of God, the hymn says, cast down his heavy burden. What burdens do we carry around with us? Physical illness, anxiety, fear, depression, anger, frustration, desperation. With the word of God, these burdens were laid down by the paralytic, and we also can lay them down by placing those burdens in God's hand. How do we do this? As Orthodox Christians, it begins with our baptism and chrismation. From there, we are instructed to pray. We pray to God for strength to overcome our obstacles. We pray to God for patience to endure. We pray to God for discernment of his plan for us. We pray to God in thanks for the blessings we have received and the wisdom to use them well. In addition to prayer, the church offers the healing mysteries. In James's epistle, we read, "Is there any one of you that are suffering? Let him pray. Is any among you sick? Let him call for the presbyters of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick man, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Finally, we have this greatest mystery of the church, the Holy Communion, where we are joined to Christ, the great physician. In the liturgical prayer the priest reads immediately before the elevation of the bread and wine, it states, "We give thanks unto thee, O King invisible, who by thy measureless power has made all things." Then it says, "Look down from heaven upon those who have bowed their heads unto thee. Distribute these gifts here spread forth unto all of them for good. Heal the sick, thou who art the physician of our souls and bodies." Christ is the physician of our souls and bodies. And just like the paralytic, we are all in need of healing from all forms of illness. By living according to Christ and participating in the liturgical and sacramental life of the church, we can move from being codependent with others to being dependent on Christ. Finally, I want to reflect on the final phrase of that hymn, which I read earlier, where it says, "He cast down his heavy burden and carried the weight of his bed." The power of the contrast between the burden of his affliction, which he casts down, and the burden of the pallet that he now carries is so dramatic. It is as if he's carrying off the pallet like a trophy, very much like we raise up the empty cross of the Lord as a symbol of victory. And the paralytic carries his pallet away, showing that he and we can move beyond that which was once a disabling burden. May Christ, the great physician who knows our need for healing before we do ourselves, and who completely healed the paralytic through our prayers and the intercession of his Holy Mother and of all the saints, and through the power and efficacy of the Holy Church and her sacraments, and through our union with our Lord through the Holy Eucharist, may this all be a source for complete healing for all of us, mind, body, and spirit. Christ is risen. Amen.